Well, let's go back to this very well-known, familiar passage, I guess, to most of us from Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 20, where we read. And these words begin with, "There were shepherds living out in the fields nearby to Bethlehem, keeping watch over their flocks at night." Now, this is a message tonight about silence. And I wonder if you have heard the sound of silence. Have you ever heard the silence of the stars? Have you ever stood out on a night that is so still? They're not very common, but a night that's so still. This time of the year, you're more likely to have a night like this, so still. Nothing is moving. And as you look up at the stars, the absolute lack of sound is almost deafening. You look at the stars, it's almost like you can hear them shining. It's not very common, usually there's some noise about it. And when you imagine the shepherds out on the hillside above Bethlehem, you probably imagine that kind of scene. It's absolutely quiet, but it's not really. There's always some noises. Maybe the cicadas are thrumming in the undergrowth. Little birds or rodents that are disturbed are rustling or calling. There's the noises of the animals, the sheep, the goats. There may be noises of wild animals, as Alison told us this morning. Maybe the wolves are howling in the distance, or maybe not so far away. And then maybe if it's a stiller night, you can hear sounds coming up from the village. The sounds of people's voices, perhaps, in Bethlehem. Maybe even the sounds of people excited about the newborn baby, but you don't know that that's what they're excited about. Maybe the wind is blowing in the olive trees. Perhaps you can hear the sound of running water. There's always some kind of sound. Complete silence is very hard to come by. Complete silence can actually be quite uncomfortable. And I wonder if you're someone who really doesn't like it to be absolutely quiet. If you're someone who, for example, puts the radio on, if you're only the only person in the house because you want to hear something, some noise. If you're someone who does the same when you're driving, put the radio on. Even if you're not listening to it, there's just some background noise. We tend to fill our possible or potential silences with noise. But there was no radio to switch on for the shepherds, so they were either talking away to one another, or maybe if it was late at night, they were on shifts and only one of them would have been awake and the rest would have been sleeping. If you were that one person awake under the stars on that quiet night, what would you be thinking? Just on your own. Maybe the sound of the other guy snoring is about the only thing to break the silence. What are you thinking? Well, you're certainly not thinking that any moment an angel is going to appear, are you? And suddenly your reverie, you're suddenly your little absent-minded reflection is shattered. Because suddenly an angel appears. Suddenly, as verse 9 says, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. And if you're the one that's awake, you wake all the others. And the word terrified there actually literally says they feared with a great fear. They are absolutely petrified. They've got the kind of fear that totally shakes you to bits, that you can't even stand up. You lose strength, you lose control of your body. That's the kind of fear that they have. And it's the fear that you find no matter where you look in the Bible, from the book of Genesis right through the book of Revelation, when God sends messengers, perhaps this is Gabriel again, appearing before people, they are absolutely scared witless. And that is the reaction of the shepherds, who moments before were sitting in the dark around the campfire, perhaps in relative silence. What a contrast. What a stunning change of scene and situation. I just want to think about two things briefly tonight that have to do with this story and that have to do with silence. Well, the first thing is this. Silence does not mean that God isn't working. Silence does not mean that God isn't working. While they sit in silence as shepherds, or sleep in silence, or sit by the campfire in silence, in verse 8, the events of verse 7 are taking place. Mary is giving birth to her firstborn. And these shepherds, just a couple of miles away perhaps, up in the hill above Bethlehem, they're oblivious. They don't know what's happening. To them, it's just another day, just another night. But as the carol says, how silently, the wondrous gift is given. This is the greatest birth in all of human history. This is the greatest event, the greatest birth event that there ever will be. And it's just happening a short distance away in Bethlehem, where again, as the carol says, the hopes and fears of all the years are met in that little village tonight, that one place, but they don't know it. They're out there on the hillside and they haven't the slightest inkling of what's going on. And it's often like that. God is at work and we just don't know it. We think he's silent. We think there's nothing happening. But he's at work. Well, in the story, for a start, there's the ministry of the angels. The angels are very conspicuous in the story of the birth of Jesus. And they suddenly pop into visible appearance to people like Mary or Joseph or the shepherds here. The angels. But they're all behind the scenes working away. Ministering spirits, as Hebrews says, sent to minister to those who are heirs of salvation. That's happening always. It's happening now. The angels are at work. But they don't make any noise, usually. We don't see them. But God's working through the angels. God's working through his Holy Spirit. God himself, personally, by his Spirit, is at work. But again, the shepherds, in the silence, they don't see that either. Working, for example, in the womb of Mary. She was able to give birth by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit conceived Jesus in her womb. The Holy Spirit works in people's hearts, changes them, makes them open, makes them understand, enables them to believe. He's working in the story in different people. But they don't see it. They don't hear him. In the silence, they don't recognize him. And in the story as well, God is working, directing history. All the time, right up to our own present day. In the silence, we don't hear him. We don't see him a lot of the time. Bringing, for example, Mary and Joseph, who should have been in Nazareth, to Bethlehem, as the prophet had said, the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, in Judea. And he was, because of that census, moving the heart of a Roman emperor to desire that census. Putting a light in the heavens to guide the wise men who will come and visit many months from now. the child in the house where they're staying still in Bethlehem. And the power of God has to be at work protecting this child, because Satan wants to destroy him. He knows who he is. And so God has to be at work constantly protecting this child. And this is all happening. God is at work in the silence. People don't hear. God's always at work. As Jesus said, "My Father is working." He said that. He knew that his Father was working even in the silence. He's working in Plockton tonight. He's working in here tonight. And we might not hear him and we might not see him. Maybe it's just silent as far as we're concerned. Maybe people will scoff at that very idea. Because people can scoff. People cannot believe. People backslide. People totally reject God himself. They have nothing to do with it. They say, "Well, show us your God." Doesn't mean God's not working just because there's a silence. And this story certainly shows that. While the shepherds are sitting in the silence of the night on that hillside above Bethlehem, all the powers of heaven are at work, and they don't know it. They don't recognize it at all. It can climax, it can come to a head when we least expect. Like here, suddenly an angel appears. Suddenly the heavenly host are singing glory to God in the highest. Suddenly it's silent. And then it's splendid and glorious and noisy and full of activity from God. 1 minute it's silent. The next minute, heaven breaks out on earth. It can come like that, just the least expected moment. Jesus himself said, "The Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him." When it's silent. God's working behind the scenes, the Holy Spirit, the power of God, the angels, it's all going on. But no one notices, because there's silence, like the silence on that hillside above Galilee, above Bethlehem. Like the surprise party that sometimes people hold. Sometimes perhaps a party for a special birthday. It's someone's big birthday. You're going to be 50. And the 50-year-old walks into the venue expecting that maybe his husband or wife is just there. And there's 40 other people. And friends and family that they haven't seen in years. And it's a great event, a great occasion. So suddenly it's all happening. But the person is totally surprised and shocked. And then thinks that behind the scenes, all this planning has been going on. There's been lots of hush-hush phone calls and emails and all the rest of it. Just bringing it all together. But the person whose birthday surprise it is, didn't know even an inkling about it. So it is that God can come as a friend to those who are reconciled to him. And say to them, "It's time. It's time for you to come to the wedding supper." And you realize he's put in place massive amount of preparation for that time. You didn't see any of it. And you leave this world and you go and you enter into all that God has prepared for those who love him. Wonderful preparation. Like a great party that you didn't even realize was being prepared in the silence. Well, you didn't hear. You thought it was silent. That's an exciting thought. And that's a bit like what's happening here. There's a surprise party, if you like. A wonderful thing. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. But it can also be different. It can be like a sudden explosion. A sudden explosion that blows up your nicely ordered world. Perhaps, to use a contemporary illustration, you're caught up in a terrorist attack. A terrorist attack which the evil perpetrators have been planning and preparing for years. No one knew it. No one picked it up. The security services didn't notice. And now the carefully concealed explosives have detonated. And you're caught up in it. And your world is blown apart. God can also come to our lives as an enemy. If we haven't received him, if we haven't received God in our lives, he can come to us suddenly as an enemy. And we realize he's been working towards it. Reluctantly, he's been working towards it. But we've been carrying on our lives, ignoring him, oblivious to him. And suddenly it's time to go to judgment. Our lives are over. Just because it's silent doesn't mean God isn't working. Or it can be something like the collapse of the wall out in the graveyard here. A few weeks ago I got a phone call. The graveyard wall's collapsed. Just suddenly. It's been there for, I don't know, 150 more years, and suddenly it just collapses. But if you go and have a good close look at it, you'll see it's full of ivy that's been growing up inside it and finally caused it to collapse. And so it is in our lives that suddenly the wall that we've built up against God can collapse. Maybe God's been working away, undermining the wall of our opposition to him in different ways in our lives, perhaps by bringing blessings, perhaps by bringing suffering, perhaps just by the example of people, perhaps by the disarming goodness of others, perhaps by what others have been sharing to us about Jesus. And suddenly our defences just come down and we're ready to invite Jesus in, like the psalm that we sang at the beginning, Psalm 24, "You gates, be opened, let the King of glory in." Suddenly. So God can be working in our lives. And then suddenly it can all just fit into place. How silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his heaven. So my friends, you and I, we need to be always awake, always alert, always aware that God is working. And just because we don't hear it, just because it's silent, doesn't mean he isn't working. But we need to make sure that we ourselves are in the right place with him. Because he can come suddenly to us, either as a friend or as a foe. Either he can come to us bringing to us forgiveness, or he can come to us bringing to us the judgment that we deserve. Just because it's silent doesn't mean he's not working. And that is why, when it is silent, we need to listen. We need to seek. Because the second point is, silence is necessary for us to hear God clearly. Just say that again. Silence is necessary for us to hear God clearly. Are you panicking yet? Because silence can be very uncomfortable, can't it? Silence can be embarrassing. we shun silence. When the dynamic duo of Hannah and Bethany came into church this evening, they were singing a corrupted carol. Yeah, they were singing, "Noisy night, noisy night." Because that's often what we do, isn't it? We make a lot of noise. Do you make a lot of noise, girls? You do, yeah. Do they make a lot of noise, Donald, Marty? Yeah. They make a lot of noise. When you're making a lot of noise, you can't hear the quiet sounds. You can't hear the little noises. You can't hear the whisper of God when you're making a lot of noise. Of course, the shepherds had no difficulty hearing the angels, but what about when they came down into Bethlehem and came alongside the baby? And the sounds that God was making in the situation needed careful listening for. Now, you know that when people, I'm sure you've seen it, when they come into a place where there's a new baby, they generally go quiet, don't they? I think that's a wonderful thing. They go quiet because they observe. They take time just to look at the features of the baby. Of course, if you're really quiet, you can hear the rapid breath of the baby. You can hear that. And you can just hear the little snuffles and the little groans and noises that a newborn baby makes. And you've got to be quiet. And you've got to be still. But listen, with the shepherds by the manger in Bethlehem, you've got to be quiet. What do you see? What do you hear? You see a newborn baby. Ordinary, small, helpless, wonderful, but routine in a way. And the danger is that you would leave that stable or cave or whatever it was, having heard and seen nothing remarkable. So you've got to look again. You've got to look and listen carefully. And this is what people are missing. This is what people are missing this Christmas time. We're told that today people are going to be spending, what was it, £15 million a minute in the shops in Britain. £15 million a minute in the shops in Britain today. They're making far too much noise. Far too much noise to hear who this baby is. Listen again to what the angel said. This is the only way we make sense of it. Verse 10. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. A Saviour who is Christ the Lord. And if we listen to that carefully, you really need to put aside your presuppositions, put aside your religion, put aside your upbringing, put aside your self-righteousness, put aside all the things that are like walls that are going to get in the way and going to stop God coming in. Just listen to that. Listen. Listen to what God's saying to you. He's saying, "I've sent you a Saviour." That means you need a Saviour. I've sent you a Saviour. That means you need a Saviour. You can't continue your life without a Saviour. Because you need a Saviour. and I've sent you a Saviour. And here he is. Yes, he's a little newborn baby, but he's also Christ the Lord. Here is the Lord. Here is the one who is the King of the ages, who will rule forever and ever. The scepter of righteousness is a scepter of his kingdom, and his throne will be forever. I've sent you your Lord. Your Lord. No, you're not the Lord. You're not in charge of your life. He is the Lord. You need to listen to these words, and I need to listen to them, because they challenge the way we're living today. And we need to try and grasp something of what the shepherds have when they spread the word and when they glorify and they praise God, as it says in verses 17 and verse 20. And ask some more as well. You've got a chance here to ask Mary. Tell me, Mary, what do you know about this child? And Mary knows a little more. She's very, very encouraged by the visit of the shepherds, because it's probably been a 9 months really since since the angel visited. And it's just an amazing confirmation of what the angel said. And it's great for her to have someone who's able to confirm the things that God has been saying to her. This is my son. This is Jesus who will save his people from their sins. You've got the chance to learn something, but you need to be silent. You need not to disrupt the lesson with the clamour and noise of your life. You need to listen. You need to create these times in your life and seek God and pray and think about what his word says. Otherwise, the noise will get the better of you, and you won't hear what God is saying. The shepherds disappear. And after verse 20, we never hear of them again. I wonder what happened to those men. Did they let the clamour of their lives drown out the events as time went on? So we thought about it this morning a little. 1,000 sheep. Bethany was one of the shepherds, and she had 1,000 sheep. Did they let their 1,000 sheep keep them so busy that they forgot all about what the angels had said and what they'd witnessed beside the manger in Bethlehem? God was speaking to them, but then did they still return to the silence constantly to listen more? And to go on walking with him, hearing his voice? Or did the noise get the better of them? What about ourselves? Has God spoken to you in your life? What have you done since then? Have you been drowning out his voice? Have you been covering it over with too much noise from your own life? I wonder how Luke knows this story. Luke the historian. He tells us at the beginning of his book that he carefully investigated everything from the beginning. So we imagine Luke perhaps going round to Bethlehem and finding, maybe 50 years after this event, finding an old shepherd who had been a boy on the hillside that day and who had witnessed these events. Perhaps he did that. Maybe it was from Mary he got the story. But perhaps he went and found an old shepherd. What does the old boy think now? Who was a young man shepherding on the hillside that day? What does the old boy think now? Is he a Christian? Has he followed the events of this life whose birth was announced to him? Has he seen the Saviour crucified and risen? Does he follow him now? Does he walk with him now? Or did he hear the angels and the cry of the baby, but not hear God and not believe? What about the older men and women here tonight? What about you, to whom God has spoken in the past? What about you, who once sat in wonder at the feet of a Sunday school teacher, telling you the fresh, crisp, clear stories of Jesus? What have you done with what God has said to you? Do you still sit in the silence and seek his voice and seek to hear from him? Or is your life just too noisy? Have you lost what he gave you along the way? Is it time tonight to seek it out again? You know, it is actually possible to drown out the voice of God for the whole of your life. And many people are masters at doing that. And sadly, as a pastor, I've seen that too many times. When I would want to minister the good news of Jesus to people when they're plainly coming to the end of their lives, often they're still making far too much noise to hear the voice of God. And that is how they sometimes die, I fear. You can drown out the voice of God for your whole life and not think about that baby or about those angels beyond just knowing the story. You can hear 1,000 sermons but not hear the voice of God because there was too much noise in your life. Or, finally, you can be like Mary. Verse 19. Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. Mary knew what it was to make the best use of the silence. She knew what it was to find a silent place in her heart, to commune with God, to meet with God, to pray, to meditate, to think about what God was saying and what God was doing, to trust him, to follow him. She knew how to find God on a silent night, holy night. Let's seek to do the same this Christmas time. Silent night, holy night. What an opportunity for us to see the light. And may you hear God's voice as you make silence in your lives to listen, now and always. Amen.